This is episode 16, the one with two parts, part one with Georgia Hudson. Hey guys, and welcome to I Have No Friends. I'm your host, Leandra Ryan, and each week I'll be taking you through an episode of Friends while providing comedic commentary through the eyes of the modern millennial female. My guest today is comedy writer and filmmaker Georgia Hudson. She is known for the low-budget sketch show Myrtle and Willoughby, and she is one half of Jomi Productions. Georgia, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How's it going?
It's going good.
You're British.
I am,
it's
yes.
Very exciting.
Oh, thank you.
You guys, I booked her without realizing she was British, and now I just feel like I'm bringing a level of sophistication to the podcast.
Such a different perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a treat.
Oh, thank you.
It really is.
Thanks.
So tell us sort of where we're at on the Friends fandom spectrum.
I basically grew up with Friends, grew up watching it. It felt like home, the only consistent thing in my life. I wanted to move to New York when I grew up. And I think Friends had such a big part of that, just because I would watch it as a kid and be like, oh, this is where people do stuff. This is where people live. This is where fun things happen. So I eventually made that happen and moved to New York. Yeah, life is a... not exactly like Friends.
Sure.
But a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Let's get started with a fun fact about the episode. So this is the first appearance of Ursula, Phoebe's estranged twin sister, whose character was created to explain Lisa Kudrow's ongoing role as Ursula, the waitress, in the popular sitcom Mad About You. As Friends was airing on Thursday nights immediately after Mad About You, the producers added Ursula to Friends to explain Kudrow appearing on back-to-back shows in different characters. And this crossover episode also features Mad About You characters Fran and Jamie, who visit Central Perk and mistake Phoebe for Ursula.
Oh, that's who they are. Okay. See,
yeah.
I only found this out recently, so that makes more sense.
But yeah,
that's such high praise to Lisa Kudrow then for being so amazing that they wanted her like
crazy.
Right time after time slot.
Totally crazy.
Yeah, but amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you watch Mad About You?
No.
Because I didn't either.
Yeah, I don't know if we had it in the UK. Like, we had Friends because it's everywhere. So in a way, like, I feel like I grew up watching American TV, but at the same time, there were things that we didn't get. Like, we didn't get SNL, for example. So, like, I didn't know what that was, like, when I was a kid.
I'm sure they get it now.
I don't know because it's live and, like, the time zones and everything. I don't even know.
Whoa.
Yeah, but I, like, didn't know what it was.
That's crazy.
But Friends is, like... you could put it anywhere.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I didn't watch Mad About You either. I didn't even really know about it. And the thing is, like, I don't really know anyone who did watch Mad About You.
Okay.
And it sounds like it was popular, but, like, I don't know. I feel like we all missed it.
Well, yeah, we were too busy watching Friends and then, I don't know,
go
to bed.
Yeah, but like there's a lot of like nods to it because it's like at the same time and it's NBC and, you know, like the Blackout episode, that same night, a Blackout episode of Mad About You aired because they both take place in New York. So there's like a lot of sort of like crossover and then obviously Ursula, which I didn't even know that Ursula was on another show until I started doing this podcast.
Right. So was she like she was like a recurring character on Mad About You? Right?
I guess
she
wasn't
like a main role.
I guess so.
Uh-huh.
Again, haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it. Yeah.
But she had to be because you can't do two serious regulars at the same time.
Yeah. That's
like,
crazy.
That's out of control.
But Phoebe wasn't ever on Mad About You, right? As like a backwards thing.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Again, have never seen an episode of Mad About You.
Now I'm like, is it worth revisiting?
I know. I don't know.
Finding it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's so crazy how I feel like everyone our age like totally missed it.
That's so interesting. I'm going to try and find someone who's seen it.
I know. I know. It's crazy, right?
I love that though. Like, I wish I had known that because, yeah, the idea of like the blackout and like being in the same exact world, it's just like, as a storyteller, like that's so exciting to me. So
yeah,
I'm glad I know that now.
No, it's fun. It's fun to do these little crossover things for sure. Oh shit. I forgot my trivia book. I'm supposed to ask you a trivia question. I forgot my trivia book. You guys, Georgia showed up. I was on the phone to Amazon. I was really out of it. All right, I'm going to pause and get my trivia book. That's what I'm going to do because, you know, I'm a professional. So it's going to be from season one. So choose a number between 1 and 182.
182.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Who said, Ross, that opens my cervix?
Oh. Who said that?
Yeah.
Is that, that's the one where he has the baby, right? Yeah, you're like, I don't know.
I don't give you any hints until you give up. That's the rule.
I don't know, because, like, what is the tone? Is it, like, insulting or... No hints, okay.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to say Chandler.
Chandler said, Ross, that opens my cervix.
He says stuff like that.
Do you know what a cervix is? Yes.
He would say that in a sarcastic situation.
Okay, that's definitely wrong, but I love it.
If the emphasis was on my, you know, like, Ross, that was my cervix, what you just said, or what you just, I don't know. You can see it. Okay.
Okay. It's when he goes to the OBGYN for the first time with original Carol, actually, and Susan. And he's like messing with all the like tools and equipment in the gyno's office. And he's like playing with this. He's playing with the thing that opens your cervix when you, you know, right. When you when you get a pap or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that's what. And Carol says that.
So it's just like an explanation line. It's not a joke line.
No, it is a joke line. He's like, it's like, you know, the thing, it's like a clamp. And yeah. He's like, nah, 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 you know, like, and she's like, Ross, that opens my cervix.
Why wouldn't he
know
that?
And then he drops it.
It's crazy he wouldn't like know what that is.
Why would he know what that is? He doesn't have a cervix. Yeah. He's never had a pap.
Fair enough. I guess they're pretty young at this point. They haven't like learned everything about like the other sex yet.
Yeah. I mean, this is his first baby, you know.
Yeah. But he was married, so maybe he would know what a cervix is.
I think he knows what a cervix is. I don't think he knows what the tool that opens it is.
All right. Fine.
You know?
Fair enough.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. You know? That makes sense. Yeah. I could still see Chandler saying it in a different situation.
Sure. Sure. I would like to see that episode.
Yeah, me too.
Very good. Georgia, which Friends character are you?
I would say Monica. I'm very obsessive with tidiness and cleanliness and organization and efficiency. The one where she has to pay the bills at exactly the right time, like as soon as they come in, I do that. Mm-hmm. When the shoes were like in the other room and she couldn't sleep, like that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much like the baby crazy stuff or like I don't have like a brother I'm close to or anything. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the like everyday OCD stuff for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into what's happening in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The storylines are Ross and Susan at Lamaze class.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler can't fire Nina and dates her instead. Joey dates Ursula and Phoebe doesn't like it. And those are like the main three. And then there's like this weird side game of Marcel acting out, having a moment. So let's start with Ross at Lamaze class.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Ross and Carol and Susan have decided to all sign up for Lamaze class together because they all want to be a part of the birthing process. Well, obviously, Carol's going to be part of the birthing process. They all go to this Lamaze class. So we have the scene where it's like the first time and then everything's fine. And then the second time, Carol gets stuck at work. So it's just Susan and Ross at Lamaze. And one of them has to be the mommy, basically. And Susan doesn't want to do it because she shouldn't have to, just because she's a woman. She's not giving birth. She wants to learn the coaching, you know. So they flip for it. Ross ends up having to be the mommy. He has to imagine his vagina opening like a flower. He's very upset about it. And then Lamaze class number 3, we watch a birthing video. Carol freaks out, decides that she's going to keep the baby in. And it's all going to be fine. And then that sort of triggers Ross to sort of suddenly realize that he's not just having a baby, he's becoming a father. And so that freaks him out a little bit. Let me play this clip real quick. This is the first Lamaze class intro.
Hi, I'm Ross Geller, and that's my boy in there. And this is Carol Willick, and this is Susan Bunch. Susan is Carol's just. Who's next?
I'm sorry, I didn't get. Susan is.
Susan's Carol's friend.
Life partner.
Like buddies.
Like lovers.
You know how close women can get.
Susan and I live together.
Although I was married to her.
Carol, not me.
Right.
It's a little complicated.
A little.
But we're fine.
Absolutely. So twins. That's like two births. Ouch.
So Ross is having a bit of a tough time.
I feel bad for him. I do.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, it's like I get it. I get that it's like, it's, you know, it's still tough. Like, what's it been? Like a few months since all this happened. Like, I get it. It's new. It's like, at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like he should be a little more accepting about it at this point, you know? Like, this is what it is.
He's, like, yeah, he's very uncomfortable with even just saying, like, that they are partners.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, everyone can tell. Like, they're going to explain it. It's okay. You have to say it out loud and maybe you'll feel better.
Yeah. And I think they're coming at it from the perspective of, like, he's uncomfortable about it because, like, I mean, he still loves Carol and, you know, he doesn't want to be, you know, he doesn't want the situation, obviously, or whatever. But there's like a part of it that's like, is this slightly homophobic? I don't know. Like, why? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like he sounds like slightly embarrassed. Like he doesn't want to tell everyone like what the situation is, even though, you know, he's well aware it's been like this for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it comes back, that kind of like vague tone of, oh, this is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't help that, yeah, he and Susan just don't get along and there's conflict between them pretty much that never really goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Which I think that part is, like, I get it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if Susan was a man and that wasn't an issue, like, it wasn't, you know, homosexual thing at all. Like, yeah. He would still be, like... not buddy-buddy with, like, the guy. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get that part. I don't know. It's just, it just feels a little icky to me. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like you can really say that today.
Yeah.
And have, like, the laughter in the background. It's like, what do you mean there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. But everybody else in the class seems okay with it. So
everyone's chill
know.
About it except for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the rest of the class is like the perspective. Like, this is the POV. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the situation? Explain it. We're all open-minded. Like, no one's judgmental.
Yeah.
So I think it's more about Ross and his discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Psychoanalyzing him.
Psychoanalyzing Ross is something that we do a lot on this show.
Yeah, you have to. You just have to try and figure it out.
Yeah. At the same time, I do think that just like acting and writing wise, the way the scene is played is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like the timing of them being like, it's complicated, but we're fine. It's fine. We're all fine. You know, and they're all like dying inside a little bit, like having to explain the situation to a bunch of strangers.
Yeah, it's almost like they've said this before to other people and they have it figured out, but it's still,
mm-hmm.
the three of them just do not have a dynamic that gels.
Yeah. Ross having to be the mommy is super great. And I appreciate Susan being like, no, like this, I shouldn't have to do that just because I'm a woman. Like,
yeah,
I'm here to learn how to be a coach too, you know?
So exactly.
I'm glad that she stood up for herself and, mm-hmm. and Ross lost the coin toss.
He would lose the coin toss.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I mean, yeah, Susan's going to be there as well. She has to know how to help Carol. Like it all makes sense. Mm-hmm. Of course that has to happen to Ross and it's good that he does it.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about the storyline anything you wanted to say?
I mean, the other random woman in the class who's like, it's a boy and a girl. It's like, yeah. I thought that was kind of weird, like, thing to add into the scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess it was just to, like, set up, like, this is intro Lamaze class time. And then Ross turns it around with the joke of, like, oh, well, you know, two births. Ouch.
Ouch.
You know, and that's kind of like the button of that. Scene.
An understatement.
The guy who plays her husband doesn't get to say anything. He's just an extra.
He's just the guy. He doesn't matter. He's a nameless husband.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else in the class is just like husband, wife, husband, wife, husband, wife. And mm-hmm. that makes their situation crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do feel bad for him. Like he doesn't get to be part of it and they keep pushing him out like every time. And I don't know. I sympathize. Is that bad?
No, not at all. Let's talk about it.
Just, yeah, like throughout, like he never asked for this baby. And then like when he feels invested in it, he doesn't even get to be part of it. And then I feel like in future episodes, he only sees Ben like once, I don't know, like very rarely. It's not like they have like shared custody from the looks of it. But maybe I don't know.
I guess we never really... I don't think we ever find out what their custody schedule is.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like they even maybe have one. It's just like, oh, you can have him sometimes like for fun, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel bad for him.
No, I mean, look, it's not an ideal situation.
It's not. No.
You know, it's definitely not.
Yeah. But it's a good plot line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hashtag poor Ross.
Poor Ross. I can see why he starts like freaking out later on.
Well... let's move on to Chandler
mm-hmm.
and Nina Bookbinder.
And the weenus.
And the weenus and the anus.
Just imagining this writer's room and they were like, oh, this is such a smart
so
pun.
So funny.
I'm like, okay.
I actually do think it's very funny.
Yeah.
Well, the anus especially cracks me up. For people listening who don't know what the hell we're talking about, weenus is weekly estimated net usage statistics, which is something that Chandler references in his job a lot, which is a very overt penis joke. But then in this scene, his boss comes in and is talking about the annual net usage statistics, which of course is the anus, to which he says probably the best line in the episode, which is... it's not looking good. We haven't seen an anus this bad since the 70s.
This bad.
and also, what happened in the 70s? Like, what?
The crash?
I don't know.
The economy crashed?
Did it?
I don't know.
I mean.
Let's say it did.
There's no telling.
I mean, that there has to be some, like, reason why they said that, right? I'm thinking about it too hard.
Yeah, I don't know. So basically what happens with Chandler starts off this scene, the boss comes in and he's like, oh, well, you know, the anus isn't looking good, you know, and we got to start making cuts in every department. And Chandler, as we know, has recently been promoted. So he is now in a position to fire people, I guess. And the boss basically tells him that he needs to start firing people. Cut to Nina Bookbinder. has been summoned to his office. This is the first time we've learned that she exists. Cute girl, wears a lot of really short skirts to work. She comes in and he's like, oh, you're post-dating your Friday numbers, and it throws my weenus out of whack. And there's this whole thing of like her, she's very overt. And she's like, oh, I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt your weenus. And it's like, okay. And then cut to like he calls her in again, I guess, and this time it's to fire her. and he can't do it. And instead, he asks her out. Then they start dating. Cut to they're making out in his office. The boss comes in, is surprised to see her, and doesn't catch them making out, but is surprised to see her. And he basically tells her that she is mentally unstable, and that's why he hasn't fired her. She comes back and she's like, yo, like, people are taking my scissors. Like, everyone's acting weird around me. And he keeps making up all this shit. Like, oh, you're getting a promotion. Let's get married. Blah. You know, he's like, hey, Helen, you know, put through Nina's raise or whatever. And she's like, oh, do you want me to send the psychological profile? And that's when, you know, Nina finds out everything and crushes his hand with a stapler, which I think is warranted.
Yeah.
Suffice it to say, it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. Between the two, those
it's
two
so
kids.
Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's play. I have a clip. Let's play that.
Nina.
Mr. Douglas. Cool tie.
She's still here.
Yes. Yes, she is. Didn't I memo you on this? See, after I let her go, I got a call from her psychiatrist, Dr. Flynn, he informed me that she took the news rather badly. In fact, he mentioned the word frenzy.
You're kidding. She seems so...
Oh, no. Nina, she is woo, 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 woo. In fact, if you asked her right now, she would have no recollection of being fired at all. Not at all.
That's unbelievable.
And yet believable. So I've decided not to fire her again until I can be assured that she will be no threat to herself or others.
I see. I guess you never really know what's going on inside a person's head.
Well, I guess that's why they call it psychology, sir.
Chandler is being terrible. I feel like this is a theme for him because, you know, the episode later when he dates Rachel's boss and he can't break up with her, like he doesn't want to see her. He goes on a date. And, you know, at the end of the date, he can't help himself. He's always saying, this is great. Let's do it again sometime. Mm-hmm. It's like a compulsion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then he just can't break up with her. And then the boss is like, why isn't he called? You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like, what is his deal? Why can't he just say things?
He says things, but things that don't make sense.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the episode, he's like, well, I told her everything, and hence the stapler. So at least he did come clean off screen.
Right, but not only because he got caught.
Yeah.
Not because he decided to be a good person and, like,
no,
own up.
The whole situation is so ridiculous. Like, to make up the whole thing about, like, the psychological evaluation and how she, like, went insane is too elaborate.
Yeah.
Like, how in that moment did he come up with all of that? He could have just said, like, I haven't done it yet. You know, I don't know anything else.
Yeah. He's always, like, building these webs of lies for mm-hmm. himself.
Yup.
Which obviously is funny,
mm-hmm.
to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't have anything to watch and laugh at if he was just like, hey, Nina, you're fired. Bye. Right? Obviously, this is a sitcom and we have to have this. But in real life, this is highly dysfunctional and ridiculous.
100%.
And also, like, I mean, even if it was just, like, he didn't have the guts to fire her yet, like, and he's been, like, saying that she still works there, and, like, there's a whole other level of sleaze that, like, they're now dating.
Yes.
You know, it's like, not only are you dishonest, but you are dishonest with someone that you just started dating.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's all happening very quickly. He's overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But she came on very strong, too. Like, I feel like that was very, very inappropriate. Like, I can't imagine that happening in any office nowadays.
It was super inappropriate.
Yeah.
So she makes the, like, weenus joke in the first interaction. And then the second interaction where he's trying to fire her. Okay, to be fair, he does, like, why does he walk around the desk and, like, sort of sit on the edge of the desk, like, right in front of her chair where she's sort of, like, already eyeline with his penis?
Mm-hmm.
But then she, like... He's like, oh, Nina, you know, and he, like, can't spit it out. And she puts her hand, like, on his, like, upper thigh, like, very close to the situation. And she's like, what's wrong? And he like acknowledges it, but doesn't like move it or anything. And then he's like, well, the thing is, and he's like, wow, would you like to have dinner with me? But it's like, yeah, she, first of all, she wears things that are inappropriate for the office. And she is very clearly like DTF. Like,
oh, yeah.
In the workplace.
Do you think that she knew that she might be getting fired and she was like trying a little harder to like get on his good side? Or
I don't know. She doesn't play it that way. Yeah. She plays it in a way that's like, I don't understand why like this is sexual, because it's not. But in when she says the weenus joke, like that's very like knowing.
Yeah.
So maybe she does suspect something and is kind of being a little sleazy there.
But even so, that's just so weird and inappropriate.
Yeah, it's super inappropriate. Yeah. And then the fact that he doesn't like move her hand, I feel like I'd be super uncomfortable. Like even as, I mean, obviously like it's set up that he's into her, like he thinks she's cute already, you know, because he has that scene where he's telling the friends that, you know, I can't fire her, she's really cute or whatever. But like, I don't know. It all just feels a little icky.
It does. It's like, even if she's cute, like it seems like they just met. I don't, like, we've never seen this character before.
Never.
So there's no history. She just like showed up and she's cute and she's flirting and like that's enough. And yeah, it's super uncomfortable all around. And then he just makes it worse and digs the hole deeper.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that the first time they meet is when, no, I guess that's not true, because I was going to say the first time they meet is, you know, he's like, I have to call this Nina person into my office and tell her about the numbers, right? But I think that's not true, actually, because when Helen says, Nina Bookbinder's here to see you, he like messes, he like straightens his hair out and like pulls out that like award and like puts it on the desk.
What is that award? So, like,
it looks like a knockoff Oscar and is not on his desk, and he pulls it out from under his desk and like puts it on like the desk right before she comes in to like impress her.
It's so strange.
I guess he does know who she is and already thinks that she's cute, and we just haven't heard of it.
So maybe they've just like seen each other around at the office. It's like a big company or something, and he's like, oh my god, she's coming into my office, and she's just like ready for it. I don't know, there's a lot of backstory there that we don't see.
And she wore her mini skirt suit set.
I mean, she is cute.
She is cute.
Yeah. It's just, it all happens very quickly.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Oh, Nina, what is her life?
Well, maybe she is crazy. Like, maybe she would freak out because, she does, like, staple his hand. It's a, like, a
That's
little
true.
Nuts.
That is a little nuts.
Like, yeah, if I was getting fired, I don't think I would do something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, she does have the motivation from having dated him and having him lie for, I don't know, probably a week, I would say.
Yeah, it feels something like about that. A week.
So it's not just the getting fired. It's the, you dated me, you lied to me for a week, you lied to everyone in the office about me and said that I was unstable, you know. I mean, would I staple someone's hand? Probably not, but I'd be pretty furious.
I'd be very confused. I'd be like, what just happened?
I would for sure slap him in the face. Like, oh, yeah. At minimum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, Nina. We never see her again, so.
We don't.
Yeah.
So maybe she does get fired, I guess?
Oh, yeah. She gets fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. She didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah, well, I guess post-dating your Friday numbers is a bad thing to do, apparently. I don't know.
Bad for the weenus.
Yeah. You can't hurt the weenus is the moral of the story.
She seems like someone who would do the bare minimum at work and think she could get away with it because she, like, dresses cute.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a type of person.
It is.
That's fine.
Those people are in the world.
They are.
Yeah. Anything else on the story?
I mean, the line with, like, I guess you just never know what's going on in someone's head. Like, do you think that's the first time that guy's had that thought? Like, what a strange thing to say.
Yeah, who is this boss?
Like, like, is this just a realization that he had? Yeah, and then Chandler being like, well, that's why they call it psychology. It's just, like, such an awkward interaction between them two. But, yeah, Chandler gets away with everything.
Chandler's really a terrible employee.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But he, like, yeah. keeps getting promoted. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And, like, he doesn't really he makes know so much what he money. Does. Yeah. Yeah.
to, like, do nothing. Like, every time we see him, he's, like, doing something stupid. Like, like playing with that, like, thing on his desk or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what his job is? Mm-hmm. I mean, the rest of the friends don't know.
Well, he, like, inputs numbers.
Right.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... basically it.
I guess it doesn't take all day to do that if you no. just yeah.
yeah, well, he hates it, you know, to be fair. At least he's miserable.
We find out later that he had it as like a temp job and just like stayed for years and years and
yeah.
years. Yeah. So that makes sense.
All right. Well, let's move on to Joey and Ursula and Phoebe.
This one's rough, yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, this is the first time that we see Ursula. She was mentioned in an earlier episode, I think. So when I was looking up trivia, it said that they mentioned her briefly in like episode 2 or something, because that was when they were given the Thursday time slot right after Mad About You.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, oh, we're going to have a problem here. So they started sort of like laying the groundwork a little bit. But this is the first time that we see Ursula, who I love. Ursula is great in like a terrible way. Basically, what happens is Joey and Chandler go to Riff's, where Ursula works, which I don't know. Riff's is probably in Mad About You. I don't know.
That makes sense. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Because that's out, where she works.
Yeah. Because, so. We never see them go there otherwise.
No. Like, yeah.
It doesn't exist in that world. So it's kind of just a random thing that they're doing that night.
Yeah. But it exists in New York. So I guess they decide they want to go somewhere besides Central Park.
A classic New York spot.
Yeah. So they go to Riff's and they're, you know, Ursula, of course, is a terrible waitress. So they're waiting for like half an hour and they're like, ah, you know, like, what the fuck? They're like, excuse me, miss. And it turns around, she turns around and they're like, oh, it's Phoebe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, obviously she's Ursula, so she doesn't know why they're, you know, whatever. But she's Ursula, so she's being super weird and like flaky, you know. And doesn't really know what's going on. So they find out, you know, obviously they find out it's not Phoebe. Then they see Phoebe and they're like, hey, we saw your sister, you know, and it's established that Joey thinks she's hot, which is hilarious because she looks exactly like Phoebe. But he's never said that about Phoebe. I mean, they're friends, so I get it. But
yeah.
So we find out that Phoebe is like estranged from her sister and they don't get along. And then Joey goes back to Riff's to see her again and orders coffee and gets a tuna melt and 4 plates of curly fries. So then he thinks that she likes him, which probably is just she's a terrible waitress. But anyway, so he ends up asking Phoebe for permission to ask her out, which is reluctantly granted. And so then they start dating. Phoebe quickly realizes that she's actually not okay with it. Talks to the friends about it and they're like, you got to talk to Joey about it. You know, it's not serious yet. And then at the end, she goes to Joey's apartment to talk to him and Ursula answers the door pantsless, presumably in one of Joey's shirts. So we're led to believe that they have slept together now. So apparently it's more serious, etc. And then it says to be continued.
Mm-hmm.
So to be continued, right?
Truly.
So let me play a clip of this real quick.
Hey, where you been?
I went back to Riff's. I think Ursula likes me. All I ordered was coffee. She brought me a tuna melt and 4 plates of curly fries.
Score.
She is so hot.
Yeah, listen, okay, before you do anything Joey-like, you might want to run it by,
Yeah?
Yeah.
Phoebs?
Yeah.
Do you think it would be okay if I asked out your sister?
Why? Why would you want to do that? Why?
Well, so that if we went out on a date, she'd be there.
Well, I mean, not my sister's, you know, whatever. And, I mean, it's true, we were one egg once, but, you know, we've grown apart. So, I don't know. Why not? Okay.
Cool, thanks.
So Phoebe's a little unsure, but decides that, you know, why not, she says. But then gets upset about it later. So any initial thoughts on this whole situation here?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that she's like, why not? Because there really isn't like a solid reason why he shouldn't.
Right.
Even though like she's clearly uncomfortable, but it's fine. It's just like the first date.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a weird situation because they're so close and the fact that they look exactly the same as well. It's like, yeah, this is a messy relationships episode. But yeah, I can see why Joey would be attracted to Ursula because it's like, Phoebe's attractive, but there's that friend thing. So it's like, hey, yeah. We're not allowed. Like, mm-hmm. This is just not what we do. And when there's this like twin version of someone who you think is hot, it's like, oh, that makes more sense. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe I'll date them. So, well, not that you need like much justification for Joey's thought process. But yeah, it kind of makes sense at the beginning. Like, I'll go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think Joey did anything wrong, you know, like he asked permission. Granted, it wasn't his idea to ask permission, but, you know, he got the blessing, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, I do think it was kind of shitty when he came in and he was like, hey, can you try this thing on, you know, like, and like Phoebe thinks that it's her birthday present. And then he's like, oh, no, just like size wise, you know, like he's not being very like considerate of like her feelings, I think, in that moment.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And so I think she's right to sort of get upset about that. And I also understand, like, yeah, when she says, yes, it's fine. Like, I don't think she really means it because like it's one. I think she says it thinking that it's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then when he really likes her and she starts to think, oh, this might actually be something, then she's not cool with it, which I think is understandable because like one of your best friends who you see all the time, like dating someone that you don't get along with and that you have like such a history with and you just don't like being around.
Yeah.
That's not going to work out. Like that's going to be hard. Like if it's actually going to work out with them and they're going to be together for like ever or whatever, like that's going to really hurt like Phoebe and Joey's friendship.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, you're right. It's just messy. It's messy. I guess it's never really explained if Ursula knows Joey and Phoebe's relationship. Like I think we're led to believe that she knows about the mix of them mistaking her for Phoebe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if she, I mean, obviously we all know that Ursula is like a terrible person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she gets worse and worse throughout the series.
She totally does.
Yeah.
But it's unclear in this episode, like how much she knows, because if she knows that they're close, like she should ask Phoebe too. Even though they're like estranged, but like if a guy to me was like, hey, so yeah, I'm like best friends with your estranged twin sister, but like, it's cool, right? I'd be like, well, that's weird. You know what I mean?
I think it depends what Joey said. I can see them being at rifts and being like, oh no, sorry, we were just like mistaken you for our friend, Phoebe.
True.
But it depends if they said, well, like she's one of our closest friends. She's always across the hall. Like how much detail they went into.
Right. We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know that, but that's what I assume happened because I mean, after that moment where they're like, oh, wait, don't leave. Like, I'm assuming they explained a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would be terrible. And also just like the idea of like one of your close friends having sex with someone who looks exactly like you. It's like another weird layer to it. Like, mm-hmm. like other than just this being like an estranged sibling that you don't get along with and have a bad history with. Like,
right.
That's just a weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
It's all a little borderline incestuous.
Yes, friend sesh.
Just because they're just because they're all so close.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, luckily it doesn't work out for them either.
Right.
But yeah, why would Joey buy like a cardigan or like a sweater for someone he's just met? Like it's so strange.
Well, he better get Phoebe a birthday present too.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you like just started dating someone and it happens to be their birthday, like get them something small, you know? Like,
yeah.
You can't just ignore that it's their birthday even though you've only been going out a week, I think.
But like an item of clothing feels quite personal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless he did think like, well, I know how to find out if this is her size or not. But yeah, that's inconsiderate.
Yeah.
But it's just like a weird cardigan. Like it wasn't like even like a sexy dress or like, no, I don't know, anything. It was cute. Weird. Yeah. It's kind of strange.
It's very, I don't know. I feel like it's not very Ursula.
Yeah.
That cardigan.
It's just not a very Joey move either. It's like the nicest thing he's ever done for anyone. And like compared to the way he treats other women.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just, Joey, you know, Joey's really into Ursula for some reason.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Because we don't really even know why. It's just, you know, he says is that she's hot.
That's all you need for Joey. You don't need anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like it had to be addressed, I guess. Like if she was going to be a recurring character throughout the show, it's like, I guess someone would have something to say about her. But it must be very rough for Phoebe emotionally, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like she was very caught off guard when he first asked for her permission.
Yeah.
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 They were one egg once, but...
They were one egg.
A long time ago.
No. Then we just have this sort of side thing of Marcel acting out, which, you know, as an animal owner myself, I am familiar with the concept of, you know, not being able to get them to stop eating things, etc. So Marcel changed the TV in Monica's apartment to Spanish, and no one can figure out how to change it. So they're just like watching all these sitcoms, classic sitcoms in Spanish. First it's Urkel, Steve Urkel, and then it's, I don't know, it becomes Laverne and Shirley at some point. And yeah, I don't know what the other ones are. We never really resolve that.
Yeah, it's funny that that's a joke that like, oh, it's in Spanish, you know, like, I don't know. Like, that doesn't seem that crazy to me.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, Marcel isn't acting out, like, that's not the worst thing, you know, it's like.
Yeah, well, apparently he peed on the crossword.
Right, right, right.
And he's eating the bath mat. Which, you know.
Why don't we see that?
That's tough. You
know? It's tough, yeah. It's not as bad as the one where he's like humping everything. Like,
yeah.
That they show.
Yeah, and in this episode we don't really find out why he's acting out, but I wonder if this is maybe leading up to the one where he like, you know, becomes sexually mature and you know, has to go to the zoo.
Yeah, maybe he's just
becomes a movie star.
Eventually. Plot twist at the zoo.
Yeah. Oh, the zoo. That's a funny one.
That's a great one. And then the other like sub story of the Christmas lights.
The Christmas lights. It's
a bit crazy.
The Christmas lights, and Mr. Heckles is also sort of in this episode kind of for no reason. Although I wonder when it is. I wonder if it's coming up and they were laying the groundwork for when he dies.
That one where he dies is one of my favorite episodes.
It's so good. And
it's just so good.
I don't remember when it is, but I wonder if it's coming up and maybe that's why he was in it, just sort of to lay the groundwork for him always being like, hey, keep it down. Mm-hmm. You're doing it again. I hear you, you know.
Yeah. I feel like it's a very like world building thing to be like, well, what other characters live in this building? And like, what other neighbors are there? Even though, I've never lived in a building in New York where I knew the neighbors ever. There was never a confrontation of like, oh, you're being too loud, or anybody like Mr. Heckles or anything. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's strange that they're so close, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're very comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Heckles, you know, he doesn't have anyone.
He doesn't have anyone.
He lives in his bathrobe.
He's a hoarder.
Yeah, I know he is.
Yeah, you find that out.
He's a hoarder. He lives in his bathrobe, which, look, you know, freelance life. I mean, some days I don't get out of my PJs, right? But
he's not a freelancer, is he? Yeah.
No, we don't. He doesn't do anything. He's retired. He's retired.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is kind of soon that he dies. Yeah, I think they set him up to be like, oh, this crazy guy, this other neighbor, and then
always complaining about the noise, you know.
And like was just saying weird shit that doesn't make sense, like the cats thing, and he's always like, I could have cats, I could have parrots.
That's
whatever.
His thing. He always says like, you know, blah 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 thing, and they're like, you don't blah 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 thing, and he's like, I could blah 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 thing. That's like all he ever says.
Pretty much.
That and like, you know, keep it down. And in this one, Rachel says, we'll try to keep it down, which is what they say when he dies and Chandler walks out and he's like, we'll try to keep it down. You know, like that's what they kinda always say.
Yeah. But when she's hanging like off the balcony, that's insane.
And that's an interesting moment too, because he looks right into the camera and says like, this is what I'm talking about. which is not done very often on the show.
I didn't see it was like right into, was it right into the camera?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He looks at the camera and he's like, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like Friends was very self-aware, like in the early days.
Yeah. But they don't do very much like direct to camera stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they killed him off. It's like, you're not supposed to do that.
But I'm pretty sure it was intentional.
Fair enough. Yeah, but the fact he just like leaves her hanging there, that's insane. Like if that happened to like me or one of my friends, like that would be an insane story that we like tell, you know, but like it's never addressed again.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really ever learn how Rachel survives that, but she clearly does. So.
It's not in part two of the To Be Continued.
I don't know. Probably not. No. Probably not. But who knows? You know, there is a part two and I haven't watched it in a while, so.
I am surprised that Monica let the Christmas lights stay up that long.
I know.
Because, like, she could just do it herself if she was that annoyed by it.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely had roommates where it was their job to do something and I just ended up having to do it because
it
takes too long.
Yeah.
So that's surprising to me.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Yeah. I had a very passive-aggressive roommate in college. And she would do things like if she thought that I needed to take the trash out, she would take the trash out and put it by the door with a post-it note that said, take this out. And I'm like,
what?
So, okay, you're like right there. Like, like it takes more time to do this like passive-aggressive post-it note than to just take out the fucking trash.
I would do the thing where you like tie up the trash, like the top of it, and leave it. But like that, what you described is way more passive aggressive.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Yeah, like I don't know how Monica and Rachel managed to coexist.
Yeah,
because there's some bad roommate stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Like good friend stuff, but bad roommate stuff
for sure.
Yeah. But maybe Monica gets more neurotic as time goes by.
Yeah.
Because she's pretty flexible at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's a lot. A lot happens in this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, man.
Yeah.
And we have a part two, so stay tuned, guys. To Be Continued, part two. Different guest. Any final thoughts you want to leave with the people? Nuggets of wisdom?
About Friends or?
About Friends, about life, about this episode. This is your time.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, like I said, I just grew up watching Friends and it's still just, it's always on. And something about that is so comforting to me. And then every few years, I'll just find myself like rewatching it randomly when I'm like in between other shows that everyone's talking about. It's just like a thing to have on. And then my little cousin came to visit me in New York recently, and she was the first of any of my family members to ever come visit me in the almost decade I've lived in America. And one of the first things she wanted to do was see like the Friends building because like the exterior shot because we like grew up watching it. So that was really cute. Then maybe she was staying with me, so we would just like put it on in the evenings as we were like falling asleep, and it kind of put me back on the Friends train. And then this podcast happened at the same time, and I'm like, all the Friends stars aligned, and it's been on my mind. And trying to write, you know, comedy scripts, and I'm kind of obsessed right now with how formulaic it is, because it's so nice in a way. Like, you just learn so much from it, of like how perfect the structure is. So I'm kind of enjoying that.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to learn from Friends, like also just over the years, like identifying and sympathizing with different characters is a thing. Like, I really do feel sorry for Ross nowadays.
Yeah.
Which my little cousin was like, ew, Ross, no, everyone hates him. Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, but he's been through a lot. Like, three divorces is a lot, and like two babies. And the sandwich.
Yeah, no, the sandwich is really traumatizing. Yeah.
He's already been through some stuff.
Yeah.
Or I guess like during the show. Whereas the other people have been through stuff like in their childhoods.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I just feel bad for him.
All right. So you're on board with hashtag poor Ross then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For now. Maybe it'll change again in a few years.
Gotcha. Anything that you want people to check out or follow?
You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Georgiasmic. My name is spelled J-O-R-J-A and then S-M-I-C. And then my website is georgiahudsonportfolio.com, which has everything I've worked on. And my miniseries, Muzzle and Willoughby, is on muzzleandwilloughby.com. And then I'm just developing some stuff with my friend Ethan right now at Jomi Productions. So fun things to come in the future. So yeah, keep in touch in any of those ways.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I love that handle.
Thank you.
That's great. I love it.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this was so fun.
So fun.
All right, guys, that's it for this episode of I Have No Friends. I'm Leandra Ryan, and remember, never hurt the weenus.
Thanks for listening to I Have No Friends. If you like what you hear, please rate, subscribe, and share it with your friends. If you have feedback, ideas, or suggestions, you can email me at ihavenofriendspodcast@gmail.com. And you can find all my social media handles on my website, leandraryan.com. Looking forward to making some friends.